Well, we've lost all power here in the Watch Out Studios, and so the show's over. 2 hours. Well, actually, that's just kind of instinct kicking in. Loads of things that are wrong with this episode. Loads of things. Big problems all over the place trying to get them resolved. We're coming to you live on tape tonight. What Jail Is Like is being recorded in the back studio and played back by the quite kind and generous ambient girl, Amanda.
She's kind of there. She's kind of not.
She can't really figure her out.
She's the ambient girl. And
sounds like an emo song.
We are not here live.
Ambient girl.
I do assure you, though, that when we recorded this, we were all making it up on the spot.
And drunk.
I can't assure you of that, although rumors do point in that direction. I don't know. No, no, absolutely not. Totally unreliable sources. Frankie the Snake. That goes shade ball. You don't trust
Jimmy
his rumors.
Jimmy the Chin.
Yes.
And Frankie the Snake doesn't give you any valid information unless you give him a meatball sub.
Yes. But we've got a whole slab worth of taped improvisational comedy for your Halloween enjoyment.
That ass.
Yes.
What that Halloween ass.
So just sit back, dig into the pumpkin of Halloween candy you got. Be sure you don't dig into the real pumpkin because there's a flame in there and you'll burn your hand. And hands are good. There are things you can do with hands. They're catching on with the youth, and you really want to ride that wave.
There's hands have their uses, folks. Don't be
fooled. So what up with the peeps? We're sorry about this whole inconvenience because we know you ditched a whole plethora of Halloween plans in order to join us live and to be able to call in and share your Halloween witticisms.
And that's what's so funny about this show.
Yeah.
Is that you put your heart and soul into it and we don't care.
We don't care about you at all, but we're going to give the impression that we do by, pretending like we're putting 100% into this.
And we're contractually obligated to be here today, so.
That's right. We're contractually obliged to pretend like we enjoy your company every week.
So we're just going to imagine that next time we ask for a suggestion on the air during this show, that somebody dials up and was the first person to suggest Halloween for the Halloween show.
Come on, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
And you can all assign yourselves that cleverness.
Mm-hmm. I personally give you permission to take credit for any suggestion that we use.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, yes.
Tonight.
Today.
So don't call, because we don't want
poor Amanda to have
kind ambient girl to answer the phone and have to explain the whole situation. So if you're getting this message, then take it one step further and do us all a service. And save your calls till next week when we'd be happy to face the bombardment.
All right. My name is Mark. With me are
Eric
and Matt.
We're going to be here as long as time allows, and then other good things are going to follow us. So WEFT is your source for goodness that's going to come out of the radio.
It's kind of like a box of Post cereal, you know? It could be a whole variety of things, but whatever comes out is going to be good for the body and the mind and the soul, at least comedically.
Yeah. Or like the recording career of Rush.
Exactly.
You never knew what you were getting.
But it didn't
matter.
But
you always knew it was going to be a nugget of good.
Because it was always consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And Geddy Lee would be there, playing the bass.
Geddy Lee would be pouring his heart out to you, you know, musically.
Via the lower staff of the musical language.
That's right. And then there's Mark, who it's kind of like Mark, too. Our show is really a metaphor for Mark's life, where you could just, you know, dip your fist in to the river of Mark at any time and pull out a cup full of goodness that you can ingest.
I'm not sure I'm cool with that. I don't know that I want cups dipped into my river of goodness.
No, you're just dipping your fist, man, and you're just pulling out a syrupy handful of sticky, hiding goodness.
Okay, everyone knows metaphors, right? Everyone out there in the audience knows metaphors, because that was a metaphor.
Yeah.
All right. October 31st, 1999. The world as it stands today. Any reflections?
No reflections. You see, they say Halloween.
No reflections. The world is a vampire.
Despite all my rage.
Oh, I've still got really bad teeth.
Yeah. They say Halloween, they say New Year's Eve. You know, make up your mind when the world end of the world is. I'd like to get some stuff done before it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody could just decide on, like, a singular date when it's going to occur, we can all kind of plan accordingly, as opposed to preparing for Halloween and then preparing for New Year's Eve, and then, you know, next is going to be, like, Arbor Day.
Yeah.
The day of the trees.
How awesome would that be? It was Arbor Day.
It's going to be something like that that fools everybody.
I think one of the more underrated and not as frequently spoken of things that's just going to be absolutely hilarious about the millennium is watching the millennial cults just kind of back up, you know, watching them struggle to come up with justifications for why the apocalypse hasn't happened.
You know, their God or whatever has been merciful to save everyone.
God forgot to set his clock ahead.
So it's coming in a year.
Be here soon.
Yeah, it's cosmic daylight savings time thing. You know, every two millennia, they gotta sit down.
Yeah, they'll just buy time.
The great space goat will arrive.
Yeah, you know, because it's kind of foolproof for them. I think a lot of them because they're already working on, if they haven't already figured it out, full plan Bs for like when it falls through. You know.
At least
to cover their own rationale.
It's tough because if you come up with, you know, a rationale, then you're admitting that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, religion.
Speaking of religion, how did you people make it through another week without being able to worship us live next to your, while you lay in bed?
The little altar you have your radio set up on.
The altar with the candles and the 8x10 glossy photos of Eric's head. And the little voodoo dolls of Mark, and your little wallet-sized snippets of me that you cut out of Rolling Stone magazine.
Those cute little voodoo dolls of me that actually have the river, you know, not non-metaphorically.
That you can dip your hand into.
Yeah. Oh,
how did you do it without us? And then for us to, come here taped instead of live is really just not really being responsible on the part of the deity.
Yeah, but we needed to tape up. You know, this is some strenuous work. You don't want to pull anything or twist anything. Taping up is really the way to go.
It's true. It's really...
You know, I'm old.
It's really not balanced, kind of stable work.
Are you not wearing any socks?
I'm not wearing any socks.
Do you know, I have this horrible... It's so gross. It's like your shoe is like... Your shoe and your foot is like this smell generator at this point. There's just like... crap in there. It's like a layer of crap between your foot and the sock. The sock protects your foot from the crap that is living in your shoe.
The awesome thing is that I wore these shoes all summer long without socks. So not only is just like by now my shoe
is like, a living being.
That and it really hates my foot. Like there's internal war going inside. It's not even like they both know they smell, so they just kind of put up with it. But now there's really resent built up within my shoe.
I really dig these gradual descents into savagery. You know, it's just, you start out at the summer kind of gently, sure. And by now...
Oh, this is new. Oh, no sock. Okay. It's kind of uncomfortable, kind of squishy. Oh, yeah, you're starting to smell. What, I smell? What, you got a problem with that? By the end of the summer, there's trouble.
By March, he's eating poodles.
Seriously.
Yeah, they say that's like a gateway drug, wearing your shoes without socks. Just leads to bigger and better disgusting things.
I'm going
to
be, going torpedo.
I don't even know. I've never heard that saying before, but I'm going to assume that I know what going torpedo means.
Oh, you do.
Going commando?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Commando, torpedo, pick a word. It's all the same. And soon I'm just going to, forego clothes entirely.
Naked troopio wandering the streets.
Oh, dear. So if you see me,
run away.
Don't give me any change or anything. I won't have any pockets.
Mm-hmm. He'll just spend it on booze anyway.
Yeah, and if you're going to buy me some food, give me something I can hold in my hand.
Yeah. Something with a wrapper, preferably, because he's got a very dirty hand.
Very dirty.
You know what's another gateway drug that's really terrible? It's eating poodles.
My cousin started eating poodles, and his parents are like, okay, but, at least he's just eating poodles.
He's going through that phase.
It's an eating poodles phase. Next thing
he's... We kicked giraffes when we were a kid, So it's the modern-day version.
Right, and next thing he's nibbling on a, a Rottweiler here and there. He's licking a Great Dane. Mm-hmm. Until one day his family comes home and he's got the ass end of a St. Bernard hanging out of his face.
And then there's a problem. Then an intervention has to occur or else... I don't know, it's a deep, dark spiral.
I've never said ass end of a St. Bernard before. I want to work that into my conversation.
Well, I don't think I've ever said dry humping variety hour before. But that's what Jell is like is all about, I think. Forging new ground and personally experiencing new things, Because if we're not personally growing and benefiting, then what the hell's the point? To entertain you? Certainly. That can't be it.
No. Absolutely not. So, we're broadcasting from the back studio. I've done this once before. I did this at the end of the summer. It's a hell of an experience. The back studio is an entirely different world.
It is. It's a mostly methane environment.
Those of you who have the Buzz article on us from last spring memorized can just scale through, skim through your mental image of it to midway through when the writer describes the front studio as being rather like, you know, somebody's parents' unfinished basement. Mm-hmm. If that's the parents' unfinished basement, this is where they keep the little rat boy child that mom had that was a twin and didn't turn out so well. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, this is where they keep him.
It's kind of like the crawl space of the basement.
Yeah. In that it has an insane clown posse poster hanging up and it's got exposed wires on it.
Who put that up there?
I don't know.
Who told that guy putting white pancake makeup? Who told both of them that putting white pancake makeup and facial hair is a good idea?
I don't know. We only have one microphone, so that's where these awesome stereo kind of fading effects come from.
Well, Eric and Matt have to share one microphone.
And now I'm over here.
Systematic inequalities. I wind up with my own microphone every time.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
We're in the midst of renegotiating before we become free agents.
Hot damn.
We signed up for a microphone apiece. But now I feel like my creativity is limited, you know, because you've got this insane clown posse poster that just draws you in.
I can't stop looking at it. Like,
it's hard to stop fixating on it, you know, like, to try to detect the logic behind it.
Yeah. Like, who was like, these guys? These guys are the future of music.
I doubt it was anything so bold and epic in scope. The logic behind them was more like, these guys are going to make me $1 million.
Hey, did they say the F word a few times? Could you say it a few more times? Could you write a song? Could you write a song called "I Stab People"? Because that'll sell. The kids like that.
Could you not open your mouth and say things in public unless it has the F word in it? And you know, I feel really stupid saying the F word because that's something like my mom would say. You know?
Yeah, that's what the FCC does. Is it makes us all into our own moms, and that's no good.
That's pretty much what the FCC is there for.
Yeah.
That's actually in the mission statement.
Turn everyone into their moms.
Great.
That really explains all of our moms. I mean, maybe everybody's mom actually did a radio show for a really long time.
And set the standards for the new generation.
Kind of got indoctrinated. They don't know how to do anything else. Hmm. Be forgiving to your mom, kids.
Well, I'd like to...
No.
See, well, I think what Jael's like... we should be setting new standards, breaking the boundaries. We should become like our dropout older cousins.
Really?
That's what we should be aspiring to become, not like our mothers. So, you know, we can just kind of drop out of school, you know, try a few failed weeks at a trade school, and then just live in our friend's couch for a couple weeks.
All right.
And show up drunk to family reunions.
Yeah, and like... You said I wouldn't go nowhere! I've been all the way to Danville! I hitched back.
See, these are the new standards that we should strive for. We should say,
I made a shelf! What have you ever done? Look!
I made a clock out of a hubcap!
No, Mom, I won't be like you. I want to be like Frank. He's the, you know, drop. Yeah.
But Frank's been dead for 3 years.
You're following along the continuity. So it's rough doing the show back here in the back studio. There's even a...
I feel like cattle. Like herded together like some common beast, a burden.
Mm-hmm.
I feel much more kind of like Zsa Zsa Gabor, but, you know, early Zsa Zsa, not late, like post-sellout Zsa Zsa. I don't really know why. I just feel like Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Well, I think it's the satin dress you're wearing.
Hey.
I feel like a parachute falling infinitely.
Oh, that was your moment of... crap with Mark.
Yeah. Welcome to the moment of crap.
You can catch him on PBS.
Yes.
Mondays at noon.
A moment of crap with Mark Hyden.
And then it fades to Mark Hyden and he's got a nice sweater on.
And he says something like, the negation of being is all. This program was brought to you by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. And Sears.
So how's that working out for you?
That's working out pretty well.
It's pretty lucrative.
Yeah. Sears discount card.
Mm-hmm. The NEA has given me big money for my upcoming episode. It's where I say, poop, Jesus, poop, Jesus, poop, Jesus.
And it actually lasts 3.5 seconds longer than your normal episode.
Yeah. big controversy brewing over that
one.
So
that's going to be a breakthrough episode, I think, where you get picked up by national syndication.
It could happen.
So what's up, peeps? Don't call in. You know, this is kind of a rhetorical question when I ask this week.
You know, they're totally buying. I heard that, sorry, didn't mean to jump the gun. Or actually jump backwards, I suppose, jump behind the gun. I don't know.
Well, just get the gun's permission when you do it.
All
right. I didn't mean to wrest the gun from your hand and point it at you.
I was just saying, I actually read I mean, I don't even know if he's aware of this, but I was reading the trades this morning. The trade papers, that is, for all you out there. And NBC is actually interested in A Moment of Crap with Mark Hyde, and they want to throw it in there in Veronica's Closet spot on must-see TV Thursday nights. Be Friends, Moment of Crap with Mark Hyde, but they want to extend it to, a half hour of crap.
Wow. See, that's wow. Can you sustain that, man? I know you have a strong back. But
I don't know how much I got going on.
You got mad fat going on.
You think I got mad fat going on?
It's
going
to have to be like a sustained moment of crap. Right. Like one of those long, thoughtful craps.
22 consecutive moments of crap.
Like where you take long, thoughtful craps and you maybe bring a book in with you.
We'll see what happens. I want everyone to stay tuned. We'll just dedicate the last half an hour of this episode of What Jail Is Like to me doing a moment of crap for an entire half hour. Matt and Eric can leave. I'll just stand there and do it. We'll see how it works
That's
out.
That's kind of training I think you got to start doing, man.
Yes.
That and heavy bag.
Stick around till the end.
Start working that bag over. So I'm sorry, go back to where you were.
Oh, well, let's just, I'm really missing this kind of interaction with the audience that we're used to. So let's just feign a call, okay?
Okay. Bring ring, bring ring.
WFT, can I help you?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a 15-year-old girl from Tolono.
Okay.
Hi.
Can I get you? Can you? Do you need?
Which?
Do you have a suggestion?
Who are you?
Or something?
Which one are you?
I'm Matt. I'm kind of the. I have kind of the squawky, nasally voice when it comes in.
Oh, it's the squawky, nasally guy, Cynthia. Cynthia says you're her favorite.
Oh, awesome. So you get us all the way out there in Tolono?
Yeah, how old are you?
I'm 21.
Matt, we got 45 seconds till the song's over.
Okay, 21 years old.
Cynthia's 15.
How far is Tolono from here?
It's about 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, you can't drive, right?
No, we're both 15.
All right, what direction is that?
It's north.
All right.
Matt, did you clear this John Spencer song for obscenities?
Yeah, it's all good. All
right.
Okay, well, I'll meet you outside of the third cornfield on the right.
Okay, could you bring that Ramson guy? Because I like him.
Yeah, I'll see if he's busy.
I mean, we can team you if that's what you're looking for.
I gotta go. I'm going back on the air.
Okay.
We're back on at 10.
I love you.
Yeah, I know.
I love you so much.
Welcome back to What Jail Is Like. And see, that's how it would be.
That's exactly.
I don't know anything.
He said that Matt would be really quiet for the next 3 minutes as he just sat there and started thinking about how he was going to get to Tolono.
And how I'm going to find the third cornfield on the right. Because do I start from coming from my direction or from their direction?
You just look for two 15-year-old girls in nightgowns having a pillow fight.
Ah, the story of my life. Whether it be in dream or reality. That's really all that I'm ever doing.
Looking for two 15-year-old girls in nightgowns having a pillow fight.
Tolonians.
It was horrible that time when we went to Meyer real late at night, and you were like, the guy's like, can I help you? And you're like, do you have two 15-year-olds in nightgowns having a pillow fight? And he's like, we've got some spam.
Tolonius monk. What's up, dudes?
What just happened?
What?
I don't know.
This has been a really long talking segment.
Yeah,
but it really is. I mean, we should draw it to close. But it really is my favorite part of the show. I gotta say,
because
you get to kind of break the fourth wall.
Just shooting
the
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I get to check in with you guys. Dip in, like you're checking the oil. Like you're tossing a salad. Just get in there, mix it up, get it all over your hands. Just reach your hands in there and get it all over your forearms, and then pull it out again.
there was just a barrage of imagery in there.
So that's what I like to do with you guys during this little segment.
Toss the salad that is Eric Ramsey.
Check oil.
The French call it a barrage. I don't know that.
Let's get the hell up out of here.
All right, here's a little guided by voice. Don't call unless you'd like to thank Amanda for babysitting this tape.
Which by all means, yes. Feel free to do.
Yes, bring her some candy. This is What Jail Is Like, improvisational comedy on tape, and here's a little guided by voices.